Good morning, everyone. You know, the last time I was saying about us allowing our light to shine so that people may see our light, those who are in darkness. I want to continue this morning. You know, God, those who love God, have been born again. He has commanded us, not asked. He has commanded us that we shall walk in that light. Amen. And He is that light. Please, brother.
Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Corinthians chapter 15. Go down to verse 24. I think I've got all the machinery working up here now. Then cometh the end. Those are the words that I want to enlarge upon this morning. A message entitled Predicting the Future. Then cometh the end, when he, Jesus, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Then cometh the end. I don't have a crystal ball at my house to look into to predict the future. I don't have any of the what they call the carrot cards. I don't even have a Ouija board. Amen. I don't turn to astrology and astronomy to try to see the future in the stars. I don't even read my horoscope. But I have a book, and it's called the Bible. And from its pages, I get my predictions of the future. A lot of people like to speculate about the future. But on what grounds can they predict what's going to happen? In the Old Testament days, they had men that they called seers, S-E-E-R-S. They were called seers before they were called prophets. I think the one kind of evolved into the other. Although, it's my understanding that the seers used instruments of some sort to predict the future and coming events. They had like the Urim and the Thummim that's mentioned in the Old Testament. I haven't the slightest idea how they separated guesswork from reality. But as for the prophets, now that's a different story. They were people who were especially selected by the Lord. Men to whom he appeared and through whom he spoke. And they relayed the message of God to the general public to whom God sent them. God would appear to people like Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, people like that, you know. And he would say to them, tell my people so-and-so. And they would gather the people together and speak to them and say, thus saith the Lord. Now, many times their messages would be written down and preserved in books bearing their name, which are included in books of our Bible. Now, not all that God told his prophets to speak, but a great deal of it concerned future events, things that were to come to pass. And some of the things, the prophets' prophecies that he gave the prophets to utter, were in the immediate future. In other words, like next week or next month or next year. And some of the prophecies that he gave them were what we call long-range prophecies. There's an awful lot of them in there that haven't even come to pass yet. But God's got a pretty good track record, because every prophecy that he's ever given so far has come to pass. Every one of them. So having that track record, we can look forward to the ones that have not been fulfilled yet and see that that same God that fulfilled all of these is able to fulfill all of these. So we can predict the future by what God has said, because all of his prophecies are accurate. When God said it's coming, it came just as he said it would. Now, most of us are concerned to a greater or lesser degree about what the future holds. I don't know about you, but I live in constant expectation of the future. Because listen, if this life is all, I am of all men most miserable. That's what Paul said, and I can say it with him. We know that one of these days in the future that you and I will die. Because death is an appointment that all must keep. Unless, of course, Jesus comes before then. So that's an established fact. We know that's in the future. Now, where we will go at death, or where we will spend eternity, is something else. By faith, we believers in Jesus Christ believe that when we die, our immortal soul goes immediately to heaven. Amen. That to be absent from this body is to be present with God. Now, that faith is based upon what Jesus has told us in his word, the Bible. But even more than that, as we studied this morning in Romans chapter 8, we have the witness of the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that gives us assurances as well. So it's not guesswork. It's not wishful thinking on our part. I don't have a hope so salvation. I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, I don't know the future well enough to be able to tell you with accuracy or in great detail even who the next president of the United States will be. I don't know that. I don't know what's going to happen to our economy. I can't even accurately predict the weather. But, you know, you can, here in Southern California, you can pretty well guess it, can't we? We lived here for a while, we know. But God has revealed to us in the Bible a lot of things that will take place in the future, things that should influence the lives of all of Earth's inhabitants at this present time. If people only knew what's going to come to pass in the future. Now, the Bible is very clear, and you'll find different groups in the Bible that God has made predictions about. One of them is the Jews. Those are those descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that live over there in Israel at the present time. Now, the multitude of them over there do not believe that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and that he is their Savior and Lord. Another group are the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles are those non-Jewish inhabitants of the earth who do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Then there's the church. You got to separate them. The church, the body of Christ, is composed of both Jew and Gentile. Doesn't make any difference what nationality a person is. But these are the ones who do believe in Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God and our Savior. That includes all believers. The church includes all those believers from the time that the church was established until the time when it's raptured out. That's a separate group of people. And then, of course, we've got what the Bible calls the tribulation saints. They will be the Jews and Gentiles who will believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior during the time of Jacob's trouble. But let me advise you, if you're unsaved today and you don't know whether to believe in the rapture and the first resurrection or not, you may sit back and say, well, I'm going to wait and see if it comes to pass. I know so-and-so over here, and they're a good Christian. If I wake up someday and they're not here, I know that the rapture has taken place and that they've gone to be with Jesus and that the Bible's really true when it talks about the rapture. And then, after that comes to pass, I'll believe in Christ. Huh. You'd better look out. Because the Bible says that you might receive a strong delusion and believe the Antichrist is Jesus, and you'll die without hope and go to hell. Better be careful. Well, another group of people that these predictions of the future attain to are the remnant of Israel. The remnant's going to be those Jews who will survive that 7-year tribulation period and accept Jesus as their Messiah when he returns. Read about it over in Zechariah, because when he comes, his feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. That's the same place he went up to heaven from. He's coming back to the same place, and they'll look at him and they'll recognize him by the nail prints in his hands. And they will, the remnant of Israel will accept him as their Messiah. Now today, according to the Bible, we're living in what's called the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles. Presently, there is a nation of Israel, but they, as a nation, are still rejecting Jesus, the Messiah, and they are still in a state of unbelief and spiritual rebellion against God. The Gentiles who aren't Jews, they're currently the world's dominant leaders. But that's only going to last till Jesus comes. Because when he comes, he's going to dismantle all human powers and all human governments. He's going to dissolve all the congresses and all of the courts of the world. He's going to establish his earthly kingdom, and it'll be ruled under his rules and regulations and not ours. Kings, dictators, presidents, prime ministers, all rulers are going to be deposed and stripped of their authority, and probably without retirement pay and pensions. And the Church of Jesus Christ composed of both believing Jews and Gentiles, is presently functioning in this world as priests, as God's ambassadors, and our God-given task is to proclaim the gospel to all people, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At least that's our purpose. The gospel is the good news of salvation that's found exclusively in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look here at the predictions of the future. The first great predicted future event, according to the Bible, is the rapture of the saints and the first resurrection of the dead. Think of that. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now that hasn't happened yet. That is a prediction of the future. And so far as we know, that is the next thing on God's agenda that's going to come to pass. It'll also be a day of God's judgment on the saints at the judgment seat of Christ, when all of his children are gathered around him and they're going to be rewarded according as their works have been and according to their faithfulness to him on this earth. At that time, he's going to distribute crowns as rewards. He's going to determine the seating arrangement at the marriage supper of the Lamb, whether you're going to get to sit up close or whether you're going to be back in the back behind a post. And also the authoritative role that each of us will play during the kingdom age when we rule and reign with Christ as kings and priests. Now the second event after that is going to be what's called the 7-year tribulation period. We're predicting the future. According to God's word, this is what's going to come to pass. This is the time when Antichrist, you heard of him? He's going to rule the earth. The nation of Israel will be deceived into believing that he is their long-awaited Messiah. He will promise world peace and security. And this tribulation will affect all of the unbelievers who are left behind when the rapture takes place, both Jews and Gentiles. And during that time, the events that are narrated in the book of Revelation will come to pass. And the wrath of God will be poured out upon this earth. All of the judgments that are recorded will come to pass. Death, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, plagues, volcanoes, all types of persecutions will change this earth beyond all recognition. Literally, billions of people will perish on earth during that time. This is predicting the future that God gives us in his word. There's going to be 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, who will survive the persecutions of these 7 years. They'll be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a third event's going to take place. That will be the return of Christ and the Battle of Armageddon. You've heard about that. The Battle of Armageddon. When the blood will flow in that valley for 200 miles, as deep as the bridles on horses. The Battle of Armageddon. Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation, this is his prediction of things to come. After the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What a day that will be. John, writing from the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His name is called the Word of God. On his vesture and on his thigh a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his victorious feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will cleave in the midst thereof. Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire along with the false prophet, and the remnant of Israel will be saved. That's God's prediction of the future. But that's not all. When Jesus comes, he's going to establish his kingdom here on the earth. This is a prediction of coming events. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. The Bible says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now his saints, that's us, will possess new immortal bodies that will not be subject to sin or death or pain. They'll be perfect and eternal. And the survivors of the tribulation with their earthly mortal bodies, they'll be like we are today. They'll continue to marry and have children, and their descendants will need, during those 1,000 years, salvation, for they will be born just as we are, with that inherent Adamic sinful nature, and they'll have to be born again just like we are. Now, we can go even further in predicting the future. And the further into the future you go, the more glorious it seems to become. Because John writes, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Ooh, that's when death and hell gives up the dead that are in them. Those people who die without faith in Christ, they are raised to face God. The atheist says there is no God, but one day he will stand before him to be judged and cast into the lake of fire. All of the unsaved, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be cast into that lake of fire, which the Bible says is the second death. The first one's pretty bad. Second one's worse. And then, at the end of the millennium, we're prophesying the future. There is a time coming when this old earth will pass away. And there will be a new earth and a new heaven. John wrote in Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. We're predicting the future. John writes, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, listen, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. There will be new Jerusalem, a heavenly city of pure gold that comes down from God out of heaven, not to the earth, but it remains suspended over the earth. It's a city with mansions. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A city of gold. Streets of gold. Revelation 21:21 says, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. He tells us it'll have walls of jasper and gates of pearl and foundations of precious stones, and that God's people will live in his eternal kingdom and will serve him in purity and in holiness forever and ever and ever. What's the catch? You must believe the Bible. It's the only book that gives you God's predictions of the future. If you want to know the future, read your Bible. It's all there. The Bible is the only reliable source of available information about the future that we have. You tell me the basis for your hope for life after death, and I will show you from my Bible the chapter and verse upon which my hope is based. I have God's word for it. What is your authority? Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed to us in your blessed word these things that are going to come to pass in the future. Now, there may be some people in this congregation this morning that I've preached to that do not share that hope. They don't have the hope of being a participant in these things that we've mentioned, the good things that are coming. But they will indeed be participants in the bad things if they're not prepared to participate in the good things. So today, Heavenly Father, I pray that each of us might search our hearts and know of a surety that we have the faith to believe the things that you've told us in your word. You've told us that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we, by faith, have believed that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose the third day, that we might be saved. And we've claimed that faith. And we have been born again by your Holy Spirit. And now we're the sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have that assurance in our hearts. There may be some here today that do not have that faith and that assurance. And for that reason, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you will speak to their hearts today and convince them and persuade them that indeed the things that we have preached about today are truth and that they're coming to pass in the future. They're predictions of the future. They are sure and they're steadfast because they are your word. So have your will and your way today in hearts and touch them by your Holy Spirit and bring them to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
552.
Number 562.
552.
552. In your hymnal. And as we sing this morning, if God has spoken to your heart today, you come. hearing this morning is He speaking to your heart with that still small voice saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Will you come today? Will you come today? Accept His invitation to be saved. Will you choose to walk with Him? Let's sing that chorus again, just the chorus, if you will. Where He leads me, I will follow. Are you willing to do that today? Amen. Thank you for listening to the sermon this morning, for the attention that you gave to us, to it. And I hope that we've said something today that you can take home with you, something that will stir your heart and turn your mind to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look to the Lord in prayer to be dismissed from this service, I'm going to ask Brother John Simpson to lead us in our benediction. And as he prays, he will also give thanks to God for the food that has been provided for us today, and a blessing upon each and every one of you. And we want you to stay today and enjoy the food and the fellowship with us. I'm sure there'll be enough out there for all of us. All right, Brother John, God bless you.
We thank you this morning, our gracious Father, for the reminder of the hope that which we have in us. That they who believe these things, are written that you might know that you have eternal life. And we thank you, Father, this morning that we know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. In him we have that life eternal. In him we have that blessed hope for the future. We thank you, Father, this morning that our minds have been refreshed with that renewal promise that he that went away has gone to prepare a place for us and will come again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. We thank you for that hope, Father, this morning that we have. And we pray, if there are any in this assembly this morning that doesn't have that hope, that you will quicken their minds, their hearts, and their spirits, bring them under conviction of the Holy Spirit, that they may enter into this blessed hope which we believe us have. And so we praise you and thank you this morning for our Lord Jesus, that we love and we adore, Father. And for this time of fellowship that we have here, we pray that you will bless us together as we partake of thy bountiful provision for us, as we enjoy a meal together and have fellowship one with another. We pray in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. spell, but looks like you're getting around pretty good. I've been a little spell, but yeah, you know that feeling anyway, right? So probably was.
So anyways, they ran off and they did all kinds of testing at the nuclear medicine. Stress test, rest test.
Well, they put you on the treadmill?
Well, they didn't want to put me in the treadmill. They induced it by medicine.
Oh.
Chemicals. I'm laying there and my heart's going boom.
Wow, that's scary. Table and they're pushing that rod in and opening up, you know.
I didn't do anything.
Then the second time I had that procedure, then I hear the doctor go, and all the comedians say that's what you don't want your surgeon to say, he goes, and then he came in my face and he goes, the old stent, when he had pushed one stent through one, and when he came back, he hooked the first one and put it in my aorta. And he had to go fishing with that little rod and grab it and pull it back out. But they were getting ready to crack me open. And man, my heart rate went up. And you don't want to hear them say, I'm like, hey, come on. And he grabbed it. Then he told me to cough. And I coughed a little bit. I went, and he goes, harder. I coughed them, real hard. That made me cough even more. When I came out of there, I had blood coming out of my mouth. And Alice goes, what happened? And the doctor goes, well, I think he might have bit his tongue. But like, I don't know.